Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful day to be alive, huh? Well, my BFF and partner in crime, Daniel, will not be joining us today. As a matter of fact, I'm sure Daniel, I hope, is home resting. Him and his boy Aaron just landed from Peru in the middle of the night. I think actually they got in a little bit later, so he's getting himself caught up on some sleep. So if you're listening to this, Daniel, or when you do, welcome back, my friend. We're anxious to get you back on the show next week. Happy 4th of July weekend, everyone. If you haven't already begun your long weekend, I'm sure some of you are getting ready to get started. And for our Canadian friends, happy Canada Day yesterday. So we continue our discussions on the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis, and this week it leads us up to number 7, the disease of rivalry and vainglory. And as it's stated here, this is when appearances, our perks, and our titles become the primary object in life, we forget our fundamental duty as leaders to do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than ourselves. As leaders, we must look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. If you haven't read the article that was in the Harvard Business Review by Gary Hamel that talks about these 15 diseases, it's worth your time. It's posted on the livingwithpurpose.today website, as well as on all of my personal social sites. So I'd encourage you to go back because it's an amazing read. I'd like to welcome my wonderful co-host today, Gene Nichols. And Gene is going to be a fantastic fill-in for Daniel, as Gene's a master architect, actually in business strategy, has a Master of Science in Creative Studies, a graduate certification in Creativity and Change Leadership. She's a certified strength strategy coach. She leverages strength finders and appreciative inquiry methodologies. She's a certified standout coach and facilitator through the Marcus Buckingham Company and a strength finder certified expert. In her spare time, she actually organizes creative leadership and networking experiences across the country. And a fun fact about Miss Jean is that she represented the USA at the 2008 Duathlon World Championships in Italy. Good afternoon, Jean.
Well, thank you, Johnny. Good afternoon. It's such a pleasure and joy to be here with you.
Well, terrific. So how are you?
I'm doing well in this sunny Minneapolis day, getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July, and again, a happy Canadian Day for everybody that was out there celebrating yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It's just there's so many people that have already begun their weekends. It's so funny, the business, and it's like so neat because how people begin to already start shutting down. And this, the 4th, I'm actually going to go see the Beach Boys at one of those outdoor concerts where you sit in the grass and, you know, on the towels, your lawn chairs. And so I'm looking forward to it. Of course, I'm a huge music fan for those of you who know me, so it's going to be exciting. But so, Gene, I guess, so as we talk about the seventh disease today, we talk about the disease of rivalry and vainglory. And kind of going back to the quote here, it says, when appearances, our perks, and our titles become the primary object in life, we forget our fundamental duty as leaders. Without stating any names, have you ever worked with someone like that?
You know, I think I would be lying if I didn't say yes, and I think most people would probably be in the same position if they didn't say yes as well. I think it's a product of working in corporate America or in any job. At some point in your career, you're probably going to bump into somebody like that, and hopefully that person isn't you.
Yes. Amen, right? And if it is you, you would just hope that you have someone out there that genuinely cares enough about you it would be in a position to be able to give you that honest feedback and hopefully help you keep course correct, right?
Exactly. And that takes a lot of trust, and it takes the ability to create relationships and partnerships as you grow as an individual, as you grow as a leader, whether or not you have a title, but as you grow as an individual in an organization or your own organization, it's really important to build a network of people that can help set those boundaries and say, hey, Johnny, you're starting to show up like this. Is this really how you want to show up?
And I think that's tough, too, because when you think about it, I think there's, and it's wonderful because we're already getting callers dialing in here. And by the way, for our listeners, we'd love to hear your opinion, your perspective, your insights, or even your questions, because Jean can literally answer any questions you could potentially have. So by all means, make sure you call in today. But the call-in number is area code 347-677-1965, 347-677-1965. We're going to get to our first caller here in just a moment, but I think it's interesting when we talk about a world of not judging. And I can think of specifically several leaders who were very, and you know, use polarizing language, very self-centered, very arrogant, very much about me, very much that your behavior as an employee, how you perform and execute, your outcomes are a reflection of me to my boss, so you really need to step up your game. I mean, just flashes of faces go through my mind as I think through my career. And I think part of that challenge is what we don't realize is when you get just past that individual, it's the impact that that type of behavior has on the employees, on the productivity, ultimately on your customers or clients, and ultimately your profits. I mean, literally, no corner of the organization or business. Now, of course, it also depends at what level a leader is in whether it's a department, whether it's a CEO, depending on who they touch, because that permeates through the entire organization when you have a leader that's like that. And it's much deeper than just being self-centered. And I think this is where people struggle. Our immediate response is to say, you know, hang out at the water cooler and just badmouth this leader and about how crappy he is or how disappointing she is or, oh, my gosh, you know, if you're not supporting them or the way they change directions. What I think is difficult for us to understand is that behavior in itself is one of insecurity. It's one of low self-esteem. It's one of lack of self-confidence. And it comes from typically a place where that leader, now remember, you don't have to be a Fortune 50, Fortune 25 leader to feel this. You could be a teacher, you could be a mom, you could be a dad. Every one of us lead in some capacity. But ultimately what it comes down to is the need to be seen as valued and important. And this is kind of how it oozes out and seeps out of our pores, and it comes out real icky. I mean, would you agree, Jean?
I agree completely. There are so many different analogies and stories that kind of go through my head. And when you talk about this, depending on where you are in an organization, if you're a CEO, what kind of culture are you creating in your organization? Are you creating a culture of creativity and you're nurturing and fostering innovation and change that will help you grow into the future? And if not, what happens? Are you creating a culture where people are unafraid to use their voice or express new ideas or be able to solve complex problems in new ways? So it really sets the stage for just the culture of a team or the culture of an organization. And as a leader, it's really important we're conscientious of what is the culture we're trying to create and foster. And that takes work.
I love that. Absolutely. And I think that, and I want to talk about this creative problem solving here in a moment. I wanted to take our first call here, but I want us to hold that thought and not just about creative problem solving, but that what we call in some ways that dirty word of culture, because it's so intimidating for those who don't understand how you build a positive culture, because it's real easy to say, let's hire this consultant, have them work with our minions, and when they've got us fixed, come back and let me know how it goes. So before we get into that, actually I want to take our first caller here, and are you there? Are you there, caller? Hello, hello? Can you hear me? I think maybe we lost some. Okay, well, maybe not. So let's go into that, though, Jean. So as we're talking about culture, and as we – and I know, let me give an example. So I received a phone call yesterday from a client, actually, believe it or not, it was in Germany. And this organization is trying to redefine and evolve their, what they call their performance review process. And through the conversations, ultimately where they took themselves was the challenges they're having are really, they're embedded, they're cultural challenges. And it's an organization that, like many, right, their idea or their idea or version of a performance review or a quarterly check-in or biannual check-in is literally that 1 hour every year stuffy meeting where we're brought into the boss's office with the HR rep sitting across from them, and then for the next 55 minutes they're spoken to about their outcome-based performance. And then at the end of that, they're provided 2 minutes, 3 minutes to provide, you know, two-way feedback as to what's your opinion on that, sign here, go on, have a merry day, and then let's go get them, right? And this organization is a very well-known organization, and they're trying to get back into the space and say, we hear there's other ways of doing this. Our employees don't seem to be responding to the way we're doing it today. Would you be willing to have the conversation with us? And I think in so many ways, it's almost like organizations want to avoid that conversation, because it goes back to those things, you know, we avoid what we're afraid of, or we avoid those places that that are in the shadows or places that we're uncomfortable coping and dealing with. And the more that we get comfortable having this dialogue and stepping, we had this conversation actually last night, Gene, when we were talking, you know, the leapers, as we were calling it, for lack of a better word, are people that are willing to dare to do things differently. And it's when you get in that space that leaders like this begin to reshape themselves and reshape their organizations and start to see the beauty of what happens when you start bringing others along with you. I mean, would you agree with that?
I do, and I also think it takes courage and a lot of self-awareness in order for that to happen. So I might be a leader. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a small business owner. I have to be comfortable with other people's strengths that surround me. I have to be comfortable with what I have to offer in a situation, in a conversation with a client, and recognize where my boundaries are and be okay with that, because that courage is what will allow me to maintain a level of emotional intelligence that allows me to be open-minded to the conversation and to the new ideas. And when we run in this place of deficit from a leadership perspective, where I'm more focused on my appearances, my perks, my titles, that comes from a low place of emotional intelligence, but it also doesn't afford me the opportunity to engage in a challenging conversation that might bring to me new ideas, new awarenesses, or even help me understand what my strengths as an individual are and how I can contribute in a great way. So I think, you know, those mindsets, we all hit those places. I've been in that place. And I've had people call me out on it, and so I know what it feels like when I start to enter into that zone. But it takes courage of the people around you, as you said at the beginning of the call, conversation, to challenge you. It takes my own personal desire to know how I want to lead and how I want to show up. And I think sometimes that evolves with time. We get promoted in our jobs often not because we're great managers. We get promoted because we're really great doers. And nobody teaches us what it means to manage. And to manage, you performance manage a process. You performance manage an individual. To lead means that you're setting and shaping a vision and a strategy, and you're influencing people to move towards that goal. And leading and managing are very different. And oftentimes, because of a title, we think that they're the exact same. So it's having to make a choice. How do I choose to manage? How do I choose to lead? And every day you might use one or the other, but it's your choice every single day, every single interaction.
Wow. I think that, I mean, I couldn't have said that better myself. When we talk about the difference in leading and managing, you know, we talk on the show a lot about the millennials. And leading now is different than it's ever been in the history of time. I mean, it's much, much different. And if you have legacy-type thinking, very stuck in your ways, whether it could be work environment, whether it could be work hours, whether it could be this degree, that degree, you know, the price of admission even to get to show up and play, all of those things stifle the success, the potential, and I don't want to say the success of an organization, because here's the tough part. There's a lot of organizations that are very successful in spite of themselves. The problem is what they can't see is the potential that they're actually missing out on. And when we talk about leaders and stifling the growth and success of their leadership, the other end of this, the even more painful part, is the greatest leaders, the greatest employees out there are the ones who are allowed to not necessarily fly free, but have enough amnesty that you allow them not just to go out and help your organization grow in a way that's somewhat autonomous, but you have to have an environment that's open, honest, and willing to listen and be willing to change and, you know, ebb and evolve. You know, what I hear you saying is, in many cases, you know, you're describing the leader of, and I think of you, Gene. I mean, you're one of, you know, we have our conversations. You're one of the most open-minded, you know, open to constructive feedback. I hope that, you know, anyone who's worked alongside of me would say, you know, maybe I'm certainly not the master of it, but more days than not, I'm certainly willing to listen. I mean, what's the advice do you have for those employees and or even those leaders out there? So if I'm a leader and I know this, I acknowledge this, and I'm listening today and I'm saying, you know what? I know people have called me selfish. I know behind my back they call me conceited and self-centered, and the only thing I care about is me. I mean, what advice would you give for me if I'm one of those leaders? What should I do differently, or what would be baby steps for me to begin to transition into a type of leader that would be maybe more open-minded and maybe more empathetic and collaborative in my behaviors? What advice would you give?
That's really a great question. I think it really depends on the individual and what their motivations are for wanting to make a change. So I'll caveat with that statement. You know, there's a great book that's out there. It's been around for a while. It's called Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter. And why I like this book is because it's very palatable and simple concepts. So if you're sitting out there and you're saying, I want to make a step, I would say find this HBR article, or I would say go purchase this book or on Kindle and read through it. And there's a quick little assessment in there that allows you to identify which type of leader you are. And they break it into two nice sides. There's multipliers and diminishers. And you can start to assess which side of the equation that you're on. And you might be a multiplier to someone, and you might be a diminisher to somebody else, and you're just showing up as yourself. And so it's really, you know, the first step is really starting to raise that awareness of what is your impact on the people that are around you and the people that you're managing. And sometimes you have to ask the question, you know, if you're comfortable and you're afforded the opportunity to work with a coach, whether it's a strengths coach or a business coach, finding the right one is really important. And the second part of that is oftentimes you can draw out more insight because they're going to ask you the hard questions that other people might not. And so I think it's really a couple of other additions to that. One, asking yourself the question, who is the type of leader that I want to be? What does that look like? What does it feel like? How do I engage with people? And really doing a vision session with yourself that says, who is this person? And then asking yourself, who in my network, who in my career, who in other maybe divisions of the same company emulates what you envision? And then take them out for coffee and then ask them, how do they lead this way? What are their tips and tricks, and what advice and recommendations do they have? And those are really great places to start, but it really starts with self, knowing yourself, and really setting that vision for who do you want to be as a leader. And by leader, again, it's a visionary. It's someone that's influencing people. It's someone that's building relationships, that's curious, that's passionate. Who do you want to be? And then how do you get there and build your strategy that way?
I love it. You know, one of the things that you, as always, what I was thinking about as you were playing through that, and by the way, those resources are spot on for those of you who are listening close. You should take advantage of them, because I will share with you is if you are one of those leaders who struggle with the disease of rivalry and vainglory, here's the funny thing about it: you already know it. And for employees, for those of you who work for that individual, newsflash. They already know it. Now, what I would share with you is maybe let's look at this in a parallel way. So these are called the 15 diseases of leadership. Let's shift this just for a moment. Let's just talk about the disease of drug addiction, the disease of alcoholism, et cetera, et cetera. Unless you've worked with or been afflicted with the disease, it's very difficult to understand. But if you ever have a heart-to-heart with someone who's ever struggled with any type of addiction, they will tell you there came a point in time, even if they're still using, where they're so miserable, and this is their version of hell on earth, and ultimately they would give anything to overcome this disease and this affliction. And so many of our leaders that struggle with, in this case, rivalry and vainglory, they would give anything to know that in the back of the room, in the various conversations, that the dialogue that their employees or their people, you name it, are having about them are positive and constructive. They know that. So just having the courage to go and to find someone they trust and sit down, that is a major, major milestone. So I would share two things. If you're on the receiving end of this and you have a leader come and says, would you be willing to sit down and give me some feedback or fill out this 360-degree survey or whatever the case may be, gal darn it, that's an opportunity. Forget about you for a moment. Oh, my gosh, is there going to be backlash, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's your opportunity to help another human being because the amount of courage that it takes for someone to go to another human being and expose themselves when they know they have gaps in their personality and their leadership style, that takes a lot, and it takes a lot of humility as well. So it's real easy for us to judge, but I would tell you that if you work for one of those leaders, try to hold back from passing judgment and figure out how can I be supportive without reinforcing the bad behavior, right? And are those folks within their circle that can be that confidant? It may not be you, right? Maybe you don't have that type of relationship, but just the fact that you show you're caring and you try to serve them in a way that protects them while still not allowing them to be the quote-unquote bully, I would challenge us to be, you know, kind of on the other end of that is how can we help leaders that are in that space? Jean, go ahead.
I was just going to piggy on that, back on that really short and really quick to say, you know, we're all individuals and each of us has needs and each of us is going to be able to contribute when we're playing to our strengths the most in any work situation, any life situation. And I think it's important in this instance to also realize that as an individual, I'm accountable also to myself. So if a leader that I'm working with isn't giving me what I need to be effective, innovative, creative, solve complex problems, et cetera, it's also up to me to, as a person to be able to articulate to them what I need and to be able to ask for that and have the courage to do that. A lot of these things take trust, and if you don't trust that leader, that's a different situation, probably a different conversation. But, you know, a lot of times we look at a leader to know me, and to some extent they should, but also it's important for me to be able to make sure that the messages I want communicated, the needs that I need to be effective in my job, passionate, energized about my job, I'm communicating those externally as well. So it's really a two-way on this.
I love that. And, you know, and I think what people, it's just common. I mean, it's normal human behavior. The easiest thing to do is to get in our little huddle and complain about the leader, right? Because misery loves company, and we're getting paid, so we don't want to leave, and we've got benefits, and we've got all of these reasons that in our minds justify why we shouldn't do anything other than complain around and squeal about it, right? So don't get me wrong. For those of us who worked in an environment where we have leaders that are like that, it sucks, for lack of a better word. It really, really sucks. And so what you have to start doing is asking yourself, do I think that I can help this leader evolve and change in a way that not only will create a better work environment for all of us, but will help them get to a better place, be more successful, and ultimately be happier? And that's a tough conversation. And you know what? That's one of those you got to do a lot of soul searching. And you also have to go back and say, you may have to face the realization that, no, this leader's not ready to change. And as long as I work in this company, in this department, for this leader, I'm going to have to settle with the fact that everything I do is to make this person look good, and in some cases get little to no credit for it. And you may have to, and that courage may then change. That may be redirected towards you to say, I need to leave, and in order for me to be successful, to be free, and to be able to grow into the human being that I know I'm capable of, I'm going to have the courage to leave. And I think, of course, that's a whole separate radio show in itself. But I guess before we go, Gene, I mean, if you had any, I guess, closing comments, what else would you say about, you know, this whole disease of rivalry and vainglory? What advice would you give to anyone else listening today?
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of things. One, self-awareness is huge. We're all going to have days. We're all going to fall down, scrape our Band-Aid, and we're all going to have days where we might just think we're the only person on the planet. It happens all the time, but the ability to have a boundary and raise your awareness, to know when you're in that space and to know how you can strategize to get through that space is really key. And, you know, being unafraid to ask the courageous question, how do I lead to other people, and how does my leadership support you or not support you? And ask the questions. We run into meetings all day long and we focus on the tasks at hand, but if we're not able to build relationships with people, then those tasks are going to be harder.
Amen. Isn't that the fact? And I will tell you, my secret weapon, I don't care what your background is, what your belief in higher power is, I would tell you my secret weapon is, has always been, but when you're in a space like this, my safe zone is always prayer. So whether you're on the receiving end of it, praying for the individual who's actually struggling and creating that environment, or whether I'm the vain and difficult leader, you know, asking for some support there too. So I think anytime you can lean on your higher power and those that you trust and you have confidence in, and quite frankly, whether that's your partner or your spouse, they're typically in a space where they'll always be honest with you, whether we want to hear it or not. So, Gene, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's been absolutely a joy, and I can tell you, because I've enjoyed this conversation, our callers have enjoyed this conversation, I guarantee I'm going to get that feedback. You can already put it on your calendar. I'll be asking you to come back and join us. And just a little bit of information here. Actually, Gene and I are actually working right now on a workshop, and it supports the amazing work Gene does in business strategy, as well as her master's in creative problem solving, which is a very unique degree. She's one of the very few people in the globe that has it. So I'm really excited about that. And, Gene, do you have any parting words for us before we sign off for the day?
No, I think that everybody, whoever's listening and whoever tunes in later, just put up a champagne glass or a bubbly glass of fizzy water and just do a toast. Do a toast to yourself as an individual and as a leader, because you're listening to things like this to grow and build your own capacity. And do a toast to, if you're in the United States, to the 4th of July, or in Canada, to Canada, but celebrate life.
Fantastic. Folks, have a wonderful 4th of July. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business. You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.